Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of a Christmas and the Baptism of Jesus sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of Todd's Christmas and Baptism of Jesus sermons.
When it comes to 12-year-olds or 13-year-olds, the question is, can we have confidence that they would potentially use Plan B properly? As the father of two daughters, I think it is important for us to make sure that we apply some common sense.
That's President Obama speaking yesterday in defense of a decision taken by his Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius. She overruled some scientists from the FDA who were preparing to let Plan B, the morning after pill, be sold without a prescription to girls, women, people of any age. Joining us to talk about this, well, unexpected decision. I think it's safe, charitable enough to call it an unexpected decision. Scott Klusendorf, he's president of Life Training Institute and author of the book, The Case for Life, Equipping Christians to Engage the Culture. Scott, welcome back.
Good to be here, Todd.
Are you surprised?
A little bit, but let's give credit where credit is due. This was a good decision. The president's reasoning was sound. We can get at his motives. Some conservatives are saying, look, this is election year posturing. He's in a tough election fight. He's got to move to the center. Well, I'm not even going to go there. That may or may not be true, and I certainly do hope that he's defeated next year. This decision was a good one, and we need to give the president credit where it's due.
Now, the plan on the part of the FDA was to forge ahead full steam and have this Plan B. That's what it's called. It just seems tragically ironic as a name for a drug. But Plan B, to be available. Would it have been available to anyone and everyone over the counter without a prescription had the FDA gotten its way?
That appears to be the case. And the president saw the danger of that, whether he saw merely the political danger and acted accordingly, or he saw both the political and moral. I don't know, but as I understand it, yes, this drug would have been available.
Now, one of the things that I find a bit chilling about it, and I am happy that the president and his Health and Human Services Secretary made this decision and had this kind of common sense at work. But one of the things I find a bit chilling about it, Scott, is that we're talking, and they were talking about girls 11 years old. This isn't about a woman's right to choose anymore. This is about girls now, isn't it?
Well, it is, and there's no doubt the political left would like to whisk young girls and young boys away from the oversight of their families and get them into a government-controlled situation where the parents are no longer the chief orchestrators of their child's well-being. I think that's no secret. You can read literature from the left going back 100 years and see this. So it doesn't surprise me that liberals would move this way. But again, I am glad that the president made the right call on this.
This is being called emergency contraception. What are your concerns beyond just the contraceptive effect of something like Plan B?
Well, here's what Plan B is. It's generally best to think of it as a large concentration of birth control pills taken all at once as a cocktail, so to speak. There are pro-lifers who believe that the drugs that are used in Plan B have two mechanisms. One is to prevent conception in the event of breakthrough ovulation. The other is to thin the lining of the uterus and function as an abortifacient in the event pregnancy happens. Well, I think we do need to be cautious here a little bit, Todd. I think it's perfectly plausible to say that Plan B and birth control pills may be abortifacient. Therefore, we should err on the side of caution and not be using them. I'm fine with that position. The position I'm not fine with is the one that posits certainty here and says we know for a fact that Plan B is an abortifacient drug? No, we don't know for a fact. We do not have certitude on that. We have plausibility. And people say, well, what about the FDA labeling? It says that it can cause miscarriage and unwanted abortion. Yes, the FDA labeling is on there to prevent lawsuits. It says all kinds of things that may or may not be supported fully in the peer-reviewed medical literature, which is where you need to go to get your information. So I think, yes, we should be concerned that this could be an abortifacient, but I would encourage pro-lifers not to say that we know for certain that it is.
Does it demonstrate, at least in the president's case, because I do not know about Kathleen Sebelius's family situation, but the president has two young daughters. Does it demonstrate that it's one thing to be kind of pro-choice in theory when it doesn't really affect you or touch upon your life, but when you've got young daughters at home, and they could be the girl walking into Rite Aid or Walgreens without a prescription buying this drug, then reality hits home?
Yeah, and I think so. And I think we have every indication to believe that President Obama is a good father to his daughters, a good husband. I don't have any reason to question that. And so I'm not surprised at all that he would look at this and go, wait a minute, I got daughters coming up through the system here, and I don't want this for them. And I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and say that was primarily motivating his decision.
When we hear the reaction, I heard it last night, Scott, when this story was first breaking, from pro-choice groups, that the president has kind of failed them, let them down. What are we really hearing there?
I don't think they're going to change their votes because of this. Where else are they going to go? They're not going to vote for a GOP candidate. They know good and well that it's very likely the Republicans will not only retain control of the House, but also capture control of the Senate. And there's a decent chance that without a huge voter turnout, Obama is going to be a one-termer. So it's a lot of noise making, and I think what you're hearing here, just from my amateur political armchair here, is positioning for his possible reelection. If he gets reelected, they want to make sure that he fixes this once the election's over and he doesn't have to worry about getting reelected.
I'm stunned by the fact that they would openly say they want this kind of really any drug that has unknown effects on young girls to be sold over the counter without a prescription, without a doctor even being consulted, and then to be therefore administered in a way that has no connection to any kind of doctor's supervision. I am stunned that they would come out and say this.
Yeah, I know. But keep in mind, Todd, these are the same people who fight tooth and nail any kind of regulation of abortion in terms of safety for the mother. They fight parental consent and parental notification laws on abortion. They fight tooth and nail to make sure that abortion and anything related to it in terms of birth control or contraception are unregulated, because it's their view that if these things go over the counter, you won't be able to turn back the clock. So, of course, they want to push forward with this.
So in that sense, even though, as you have said, the medical research at this point doesn't give us the ability to say it is an abortifacient, in the sense that the pro-choice forces consider it as a form of abortion, they're still defending abortion, not just contraception.
Yes, I think that's true, although you will get large numbers of people who support abortion saying this is not an abortifacient because they don't want the stigma attached to it. But again, I think it's plausible that it could be an abortifacient. I'm not saying it isn't. I'm just saying we don't have certitude, and we need to exercise caution as pro-lifers.
Finally, with only about 20 seconds, does the president deserve credit for making a sensible and good decision?
Yeah, he does. And we should give credit where credit is due.
Scott Klusendorf is president of Life Training Institute. He's author of the book, The Case for Life, Equipping Christians to Engage the Culture. You'll find a link to Life Training Institute and to The Case for Life at our website, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen on Demand page. Scott, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd. Always good to be with you.
tomorrow on Issues, Etc. Dr. Beverly Yonke of Concordia University, Wisconsin is going to be our guest. We're going to talk about several issues. First of all, children and the creed of our culture. And we'll also talk about the real issue of holiday depression, what the church can do to people for whom this is not a time of celebration, but of some of the deepest struggles in their year. Folks, help us defend life from beginning to end by making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. No gift is too small. For any sized year-end donation, we'll send you a CD containing two sermons, one a Christmas sermon that I preached, and the other a sermon on the baptism of Jesus. Now, we've got 23 days left in the year. I know that seems impossible to believe, but it's true. 23 days left in the year, and we're almost $48,000 short of making budget this year. You can help us bridge that gap by making a secure online donation at our website, issuesetc.org. Remember, any size gift is deeply appreciated. You can also make your donation by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2011. I am surprised at the ferocity with which the pro-choice forces would complain about even this most sensible, I shall say, in the president's case, fatherly decision. I am a little bit surprised that the president would support Kathleen Sebelius or that she would make this decision herself in the first place, but you take what you can get, and in this case, they did the right thing. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.